You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Coming up on today's episode, we take a look at the state of the Jets with 8 games to go, plus some potential offseason rumors involving Winnipeg.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, good to be back at it here. Apologies for the delay, everybody. Technical difficulties might be putting it mildly, but it did knock us out for a couple of days there. But thankfully, not going to name names or put blame on anybody, but thankfully a certain co-host of the podcast found a way to get it done, and we're good to go here a little bit later than usual to start off the week, but plenty to get into as always surrounding the Winnipeg Jets, and we'll do all of that right now. And joining me once again, fresh and ready to go, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with a new mic, a new Mac. Looking good. How we doing today?
Mildly is putting it mildly. That laptop was destroyed. There was no way. Took it into Apple and they're like, yeah, this is going to be about 3-week fix. And like, that's not going to work. We can't go for 3 weeks without my laptop. So, I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Well, hey, I appreciate you spending a couple bucks to get this thing back on track here. We can maybe make that a business expense or something like that. And, I don't know. I don't even know what the Canadian version of the IRS is. I don't think they're listening, so we should be okay. But it's kind of funny that your laptop completely falls apart right as the Winnipeg Jets are completely falling apart. So maybe there was a bit of symbolism there. So who knows? Maybe now that I guess the laptop isn't fixed, so that doesn't really work. You have to get an entirely new laptop. So maybe it's symbolism in a way of what's to come for the Winnipeg Jets, right? You can't go to the store to get a new team, but you can get some new players in a few other avenues in a couple of months' time. So maybe it's some foreshadowing your laptop compared to what the Winnipeg Jets are going through right now. Obviously, we're a little bit too late to break down the Jets' most recent endeavor. That 4-1 loss to the Kings in LA on Saturday. So we're not going to necessarily just, break down that game specifically because it's, already been done and we're a few days behind that. We got the matchup against the San Jose Sharks tonight, which the Winnipeg Jets hopefully should be able to take advantage of. But I thought it would be a good opportunity, Tyson, to just take a look at where the team is right now. Because I got to tell you, I can't remember, and I would love to know which team this would be, but I can't remember the last time that there was a team 4 points up on a playoff spot with 8 games to go, essentially an 80% chance of making the postseason, all but done, that has a fan base as fed up and as infuriated as the Winnipeg Jets group is right now. I mean, people aren't having fun with a team that's likely going to make the playoffs. I haven't seen something like this in quite some time. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm probably right there with them, but it just speaks to how poorly this team has played. Decisions that have been made around the lineup, just pretty much everything around this hockey club right now as to why we're all sick and tired and almost looking, with a couple of eyes towards the offseason as opposed to what should be some excitement and some fun with a playoff push and some postseason games in Winnipeg upcoming in a couple weeks' time.
Yeah, you mentioned the 80% chance of making the playoffs. You ask most Jets fans, I feel like they think that the Jets have like a 20% chance of making it right now, right? Like, and realistically, the Jets should have this playoff spot locked up with their upcoming stretch of games. There's a couple big ones coming up against Calgary and Nashville that could play a big role in where the season ends up. But I mean, realistically, the Jets do have this locked up. It's just a kind of at this point, almost if it's like the worst possible situation has to happen. And the way things have been going, that's not totally out of the realm of possibility, right? Like, and I think the reason why so many people are fed up with this team is just because they seem fed up, right? Like, they seem like a team that doesn't totally necessarily believe in what's going on in the locker room. They don't seem like a team that really trusts each other at the moment. And that's kind of two things that you can't have going into a playoff run. You need a cohesive group to really pull together and fight for each other at this point. And there's been times where, I mean, we saw with the Blake Lizotte play on Josh Morrissey. I mean, super dirty. Like, Blake Lizotte, one game is kind of, I would have been okay with two, maybe even three. Like, that's just pure.
Four, five, pure, yeah,
pure dirt bag. Pure dirt bag. And at least you saw some sort of response there. But that's from Josh Morrissey, who's one of the more, I would say this is just coming from an outside perspective, but one of the more well-liked, more well-respected members of that team. But then we go back to the St. Louis game where another well-respected forward on the team, Nikolaj Ehlers, doesn't get a single response from the team. And it's just that sort of inconsistency that bleeds over into the defensive play, that bleeds into the ozone time. It's just this constant inconsistency that's really kind of driving people off the Jets right now. And it's hard to blame them.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's fair to say at this point, like, what's, you mentioned inconsistencies there. Is that not just kind of consistently who they are, though? Like, is the first part of the season the outlier here? You know what I mean? Like, this has been a problem for the prior two seasons under two different head coaches. I would have to say that this is just what the Winnipeg Jets are. And I guess my feeling on where the team is at right now, Tyson, is pretty much just this. And it doesn't, I mean, it might not help anybody in all this, but whether you're excited for a playoff run, whether you want this team to kind of crash and burn, whatever it is, I would say just either enjoy, or if you don't like it, have some solace in the fact that this is the last time we're going to see this group of the Winnipeg Jets together as we know it. I don't care if it's two rounds one and a trip to the conference finals. I don't care if it's they miss the playoffs. I don't care if they're out in round one in a hard-fought battle and some bounces didn't go their way. I don't think it matters, because this group has shown literally nothing to have any sense of belief behind them. And quite frankly, they're pretty lucky that the GM of this team has been as foolish to put his faith in them as he has so far, because they've just shown time and time again that when the going gets tough, they fold at the slightest sense of adversity. And that game against LA was a great example of that, right? Like, you don't play great against Anaheim, but you find a way to get a win that you should, right? That so you get the result, which is kind of all that matters at this point. But you go up against a Kings team who, you know, you're probably going to have to face. You might have to face them come playoff time. Or at the very least, you're going to face a team that plays a similar style to them, right? And it looked like an ocean of a divide between those two clubs. One team that's ready to go for the postseason. One team that has their eye set on where are we going to book vacations by the time mid to late April rolls around, right? So I guess that's just one way to look at it here. And again, I don't even think a deep playoff run saves them, especially with the way the contracts are set up with a bunch of the big guns on this team having 1 year to go here. I think that what we've seen from now over the course of the last little while, and it's not going to be earth-shattering news to a lot of people here, it's just this group can't win. Three different head coaches, I think, have come out publicly and basically said something along those lines. And we'll get to some of Rick Bonus's comments and decisions in the next little bit here. But This is a group that basically can't do the simplest things out there on a hockey rink. How in the world can you expect them to actually contend and go deep for a Stanley Cup year in, year out? And that's if they even want to be in the city of Winnipeg to do that.
Yeah, and that looked like that LA game was a complete role reversal of where both teams kind of are in the season right now. Like, you would think that LA was the team that was battling for that last wild card spot, that was really clawing to get in the playoffs and not have more so of a comfortable lead. Like, LA still has a lot to play for as the season winds down with playoff seeding and everything, but
they've got a spot wrapped up regardless of where they finish. And the Jets kind of, they just, plain and simple, they just let LA do whatever they want for the most part. Like, really. And you can see the frustration on Bonus, especially after that empty net goal where he's throwing his hands up in disbelief. And as a coach, like, that's not what you want to see from your coach. What are we, 7 games away from the end of the regular season now? 8? Like, it's just, it's hard to put into words exactly what's happened with this team over the years, even though it has happened pretty similarly the past couple of years. But it's just so shocking to see the different levels of play that this team can have. And that's what's frustrating, is because you know what this team is capable of. You know that they have the opportunity and the skill set to make a lot of these plays happen and make and create offense. And it just seems like a team that's kind of, that's checked out. Like, honestly, that's all that you can really say right now. Is that
Tyson, I think they're the most arrogant team I've ever seen. Yeah. They play like they're the Colorado Avalanche or the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like they've won something, right? Like, don't worry, we'll turn it on when it matters. You've done jack squat, yet you walk around acting like, hey, don't worry, we're gonna figure this thing out and we got all the answers. And don't worry, once playoff time comes around, we'll flip that switch and we'll get it going. It blows my mind, and maybe it speaks to some of the mistakes of the past several years, you know, the coddling and the lack of accountability that's gone on for so long, that they feel like, hey, we can get away with anything and we'll just kind of turn it on when we want to. It's a team that's not very fun to cheer for and fun to watch. I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now. And I go back to Chevy's comments at the trade deadline, Tyson, when he talked about, you know, this is a team that has the pieces to go ahead and win a Stanley Cup. And there's kind of two thoughts in my head looking back at that now. Is one, were you watching the same team everybody else has been watching this whole time? And two, if you legitimately thought that, and this is the effort that they're putting out there, whether it's him or somebody else behind the wheel, I don't know how you don't try to come up with some kind of a reconfiguration of half this roster, especially the big name guys come this offseason, because they don't got it. They don't have it. And there's some guys on this team that I think are capable and that you'd want to stick around for a retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. But there's at least 4 to 5 guys, likely even more than that, that have got to hit the door, got to get out there if we want to have any chance of being a team that makes run after run after run.
Yeah, and I think it would surprise people too about how many, and not just on the Winnipeg Jets, but how many players throughout the year request a trade at some point. And the way that a lot of these guys are playing, you got to wonder, like, how many of these guys really have made their opinion loud and said that this isn't necessarily where I want to be to end my career. Like, I might want to try something new. But we've seen with teams before where they kind of have slow first and second periods, and then they kind of start to bring it on the third period and at least try to stage a comeback. Like, we've seen many teams just get dominated through 2 periods and then really start to pour it on a team in the third when they're like, oh, okay, we kind of have to win. We haven't even seen that with the Jets. Like, we haven't even seen a game where they go into a period down and they really bring the game to them and try and make it more of a game. And it's kind of just a roll over and die attitude, like, honestly. And there's so many question marks going into this off season, not even just on the team. You're going through staff, through management. Like, there's a lot of question marks on this team. And you also have to look at not just this next year and what's going to happen with the Winnipeg Jets in 2023, 2024, but you got to look at the seasons going down the road too. Like, what is this team going to look like in the next couple of years? And I think that getting a solid message and a clear and concise point to the fans that this is our plan, this is what we're going to do, I think that's what's needed this offseason. And it's really, I think they really need to work on kind of righting the ship and getting that culture that they speak of. And we heard so much about it earlier in the season about how, oh, this is the tightest knit group that we've ever seen. Like, you hear that about teams all the time and then they fizzle out and it doesn't look like they're a tight knit team. Like, I'm sorry, regardless of how many players have said that this is a really tight-knit team, they might all like each other, but you're not pulling...
They don't play like it.
Yeah, right. You're not pulling the wagon together. Like, you might like each other, but you guys aren't working together. And
My thought there is you guys should play on more hockey teams. Like, if that's the most, this is a tight-knit team. You guys don't want to do anything except play offense. And you don't want to shoot the puck either when you play. Like, it's maddening might be the best way to describe the Winnipeg Jets right now. And I feel like we've officially reached the breaking point, if it didn't happen a few weeks ago already, that people just, this iteration of the team, it's done. They can do whatever they want over the next 8+ games, but there's no point whatsoever of bringing this group of players back next season. The time for, you know, major additions at the deadline, that's come and gone right now. And the belief that Chevy put in this team has not been rewarded whatsoever. And I think, you know, even the most optimistic Jet fan would look at this group and say, yeah, there's talent here, but for whatever reason, the mix of guys that are on this club right now, it's not going to work. We got to find a way to and change that, whether it's a retool, a rebuild, reload, something with RE is going to happen this offseason in front of it here. And it just, we'll see what happens and we'll see what plays out here. I mean, look, you talk about trade requests. There's going to be a lot of those. And I think there's going to be a lot of those accepted by the Winnipeg Jets as we get closer and closer to the middle of the calendar year. Now, you also mentioned potential trade requests, Tyson, and I do wonder if there's a guy that isn't a part of that group in the past that might be joining that parade this offseason. We'll get to that, some of the lineup decisions that have been made that have people even more infuriated. We'll get to all of that, as well as some more offseason talk in just a sec here. But quickly, before we do that, let's give a shout-out to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. We have got you covered right now, with plenty of heated action going on. NHL NBA playoffs about to get underway. And of course, March Madness, the Final Four, is almost here as well. And new customers on whatever you're betting on can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Whether it's basketball, hockey, golf, potentially wrestling sometime down the road. That still boggles my mind. But plenty of stuff for you to get into. The Predators and Bruins, by the way, battling it out on a Tuesday night. I think Nashville has pretty much checked out after their previous two blowout losses of the season. So maybe we'll get back on the Bruins bandwagon and have Boston to cover a pretty big spread in hockey terms, at least. So if you're looking to make some money, why not put a little bit on the Bruins to take down the Predators, and that would be in Boston. So even better. You can do that and plenty of other bets as well using our friends over there at DK. How do you do it? Well, it's this simple. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Win or lose, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for more details. So when I mentioned Tyson, a guy that hasn't been a part of the trade request crew in the past little while, that might be joining that group this upcoming offseason, is there a name that pops into your head as to who that might be?
Well, I think there's one clear one. That's Pierre-Luc Dubois.
No. Dubois's been a part of that.
Okay. Not a part of it. Gotcha.
Yeah. Somebody that hasn't been a part of it that I think is going to join them this offseason.
I hate to say it. I think you're thinking about Nikolaj Ehlers.
I'm thinking about Nikolaj Ehlers. That is correct. I mean, it's kind of a... I mean, it's a two-pronged conversation here. One is the most recent lineup in terms of forward combinations that was put out by the Winnipeg Jets heading into this game against the San Jose Sharks Tuesday night, which sees Nikolaj Ehlers demoted. Some people are saying it's not a demotion because, you know, he's getting away from Scheifele. Stop it. It's a demotion. We know Scheifele and Wheeler are going to play 20-plus minutes in this upcoming game here. If not, I'll be flabbergasted and I'll eat all the crow in the world. But it's not a demotion. It's not a promotion. He's being demoted and he's going to get less 5-on-5 minutes, right? And this is a guy that isn't on the first power play. I just wonder here, we'll talk about the lineup in just a sec, Tice, but specifically with Nikolaj Ehlers. Like, at what point is enough from his side of things? Like, there is a large contingent of both Jets fans and NHL fans that have seen his ice time not equate to the level of talent that he has. And they wonder, like, what is going on over there in Winnipeg? And if the fan base here can see it, if people across the NHL can see it, you can't tell me that Nikolaj Ehlers isn't noticing that as well. He's been the good soldier for a long, long time here. There's a lot of players that would be in a similar situation as him that would say, either give me the minutes or give me a place that is going to give me those minutes. He hasn't done that. But I do wonder, like, is this, are we ultimately reaching a tipping point with Nikolaj Ehlers here? In that, if you're looking at your situation, if you're Nikki, you've got a few years left on your deal, but not all that much time. Do you not maybe prioritize yourself a little bit here and say, look, if you're not going to give me 18 minutes a night, let alone the 16 that he's been getting recently, if you're not going to do that for me, and if I'm not valued here, right? Like, if you think I'm a second, third liner and a PP2 guy, then you know what? I don't want to be a part of this group either. I wonder if the Winnipeg Jets have pushed themselves down this road where I think it's going to bite them in the ass in a big way.
Well, and especially with Ehlers too. You talk about a guy who's really struggled the past couple games, the past couple weeks even, who hasn't really done much on the offensive side of things, and that's Cal Connor, right? Like, Ehlers has taken Rick Bonus's message of shooting the puck more, and he's really applied that into these last couple games. And yes, there's still some times where Ehlers might pass up a shot, but I feel like he's been the more trigger-happy out of the Jets forwards these past couple games. And you don't see anything happen to Kyle Connor, right? Like, he's had just as many defensive lapses. He's gone through cold stretches. He's gone through periods of play where he doesn't look engaged totally. And he still has his spot just stapled on the top line there. And I consider that good reason, too, because he does have that skill set. But why is Nikolaj Ehlers the guy who is being demoted, the guy who is taking the coach's message and trying to apply it to his game, a guy who doesn't deny media requests at the end of the game? You know, Ehlers is always one of the guys who shows up at the end and he speaks his mind. Like, he's an open book to the media. He says a lot of things that, like, wow, he talks about how openly frustrated he is with the play these past couple weeks, and it's hard to blame him. And then you get this situation here where things aren't working good for the team. You're trying to do what the coach is saying and you're being demoted. Like, you're getting a demotion from all that. And I can just totally see how the frustration can seep through. And you're looking at Cal Connor, you're like, well, what am I doing that he's what, like, what is he doing that I'm not in these past couple of games? And he's not doing more than Ehlers. And so I think it's just a crazy situation that the Jets have kind of put themselves in. I mean, we don't know what goes inside in the locker room. I mean, like, for all we know, these guys just go at it 24/7 and they just, like, it's kind of just toxic, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. And so it's just kind of a head scratcher with Bones here. And why are you doing this with, right? Like, it's just a guy like Vlad Namestnikov, who's played very well for this team since coming over. I don't understand how he gets precedence over Nikolaj Ehlers and moving up in the lineup.
We'll talk about the lineup in just a sec. But it is a lot of what you're saying there is that it always feels like Ehlers is the one to get the demotion instead of a Connor, instead of a Wheeler, instead of, you know, name this guy. It's always Ehlers that bears the brunt of it. And I don't get it. And it's funny, too, because he's not even playing outstanding. I think he's been, like, okay to good. He's got 3 points in his last 5 games. That officially makes him the hottest Winnipeg Jet in terms of scoring on the road, right? Like, so not only, like... Not only are you pushing him down the lineup, but you're also pushing one of your hot hands, even though he's not doing a whole bunch on the score sheet there. I just don't get it. And I do think that at some point here, and maybe it is this offseason, that he just looks at the team and says, hey, if it's same GM, same coach, same group of players, if they're not going, then I'm going. And I wonder if ultimately the Winnipeg Jets have pushed him to that point. Would love to know what you guys think. Let us know. Is Nikolaj Ehlers potentially going to be a guy that might want to move out of Winnipeg if things don't work out for him in the better in the next little while? How's that all going to play out? Let us know. On Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki, at Tyson Rewicki, at Skates Plates Pod. Now, the lineup that we saw, which is kind of a part of this conversation as well. And you mentioned Namestnikov getting to move up there with Scheifele and Wheeler. No offense to Namestnikov whatsoever, who, like you said, has played really well here. But this whole forward group just makes no sense. Like, I don't understand what the thought process is behind all of this. It's stupid. Like, I'm sorry. I don't. Bones knows more hockey than he's forgotten more hockey than I know. But this lineup just has nonsense written all over it. Like, you're going to have old man Blake Wheeler playing up there on the top line.
He's cucked.
He can't move. And I don't even blame him. Like, he's 30. What is he? 35, 36. It's again, another coach that's putting him in a position to fail when you should be putting him in a position to succeed, playing down at the third line and getting 12, 13 minutes a night. Then you have him up there trying to create offense when he's incapable of doing that 5-on-5 or on the power play right now, probably because he's been getting too much ice time at this point. But then you compound that mistake by saying, well, if we're going to have Wheeler up there with Scheifele, we need some speed with him to help him out there and try to essentially track some of his faults behind him. So we're going to put Namestnikov up there on the top line. Guess who's faster than Namestnikov? Like, if you're gonna have speed up there, put either the fastest or the second fastest winger on this team beside Blake Wheeler to try to get some offense and some speed going, right? Like, none of this makes any sense. There's a complete refusal to put back the best line this team has had all season in Dubois, Connor, and Ehlers together, which, again, I don't know why this team is so hesitant and scared to put the trio like that together when they've been so good in the limited minutes that they've gotten. And then on top of that, the other best forward during this time frame, Morgan Barron, continues to get stapled to the fourth line instead of getting a promotion that he rightfully deserves. Make it make sense, Tyson.
In my opinion, I think Bones is just kind of at a loss for words. And I think he's just literally going, you know what, let's just keep on trying something new. I don't like when... How long has a lineup really stuck with the... Like, how long has Bones stuck with the same lineup for a couple of games, right? Like, these past months or so, we're seeing the lines get switched up, like, every fourth day. Every fourth day, every two games, they're getting switched up. Like, it's so hard to build chemistry like that. And in one sense, I get what Bones is trying to do. Like, he's trying to mix things up.
I was going to say, do you? Like, I literally don't, Tyson. I don't, none of this makes sense to me. The like Dubois, Connor, Niederreiter, like that should be a good line. But I just don't get any of this.
Like, I feel like he's just trying to make something stick. Like honestly, like he's, I don't know what else this lineup configuration could lead. Like, I don't know what the answer is for putting the lines the way they are, other than maybe this is something we haven't really tried yet. Maybe this will work. And I think he's just at that point with this team where how big of a veteran coach Rick Bonus is. I don't think he knows what to do with this team.
Yeah. You know, and that's, I agree. And that's not necessarily a knock on Bones. He's just kind of like, these guys, this is so much worse than I thought, which he kind of said, what was it last week when he mentioned, you know, we're trying to get these guys motivated and, that's just a whole another can of worms there when a head coach is basically pleading through the media, like, can you guys please be prepared for the game, right? Like, that goes back to my earlier point of this iteration of the team is done, blow it up here. But while the team is together, like, why not put them in a position to succeed? And to me, having Namestnikov and Wheeler as wingmates on a line is fine if they're doing it with Adam Lowry down the middle. And then you could even have Ehlers and Barron up there with Mark Scheifele if you're so scared to put Dubois, Connor, and Ehlers together again. Like, that, to me, gives this team the best chance to succeed if you're not going to put your most dangerous three together. But to have the lineup set as it is, I just don't get it. And I think ultimately what this leads to is a failure to produce offensively. And eventually we're going to see the lines get shaken up once again. I think we see Ehlers move up into the top six, and then one of the two lines starts to score, and then we just kind of wasted either a game or two games or two, whatever it might be. It just feels like this forward group that they've put together here is destined to fail, and it's only a matter of time before we see things change, and probably sooner rather than later. So I don't get it. I just don't understand it whatsoever. And I think people that are apoplectic about what's being put out there have every reason to be upset about this group as well. And yeah, maybe you're right, Tyson. Maybe it's just throw up your hands and I don't know what to do. But to me, if you're in that situation, just put your best players together. put your best players together, whoever's playing best at that time, and try to figure things out. And I don't think Blake Wheeler is one of your six best forwards right now. So,
right. And what was one of the most successful lines this year? Right? Like Dubois, Connor, Ehlers. When's the last time we've seen them play together?
Months?
Yeah, like January. Probably yeah. One, like I think once the first change since Ehlers came back, I think that first change from when they moved him off that line, I think that was like the last time. Like they might have played a couple shifts here and there in like a third period or something, but I don't even think that's right. Like I don't think that he's played with them since that
he hasn't
game stretch where they dominated the league.
No, they scored too many goals, and Rick Bonus said enough of that. You know, let's make sure we don't score ever again. And mission accomplished. Like I don't get it, especially for a team that's been so awful in the goal department for so long here. I mean, that game against Anaheim was their best game in what is it, like a month offensively? And you just refuse to put your three best offensive players together. It makes no sense. So we'll see what happens here. You know, having said all that, they'll probably put up six against San Jose or something like that, and Wheeler ends up with four assists. But we'll see what happens with the lineup against the game against San Jose, and then later on in the week as the schedule starts to stiffen up in the final seven games of the year. They've got one more freebie here before things get a little more difficult for the club down the stretch. Now, one thing I do want to touch on quickly before we wrap up the episode, Tyson, talking about some offseason rumors. And would you mind giving a little bit of background to this? It involves Pierre-Luc Dubois. Now, Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts, the podcast, mentioned, and I'll paraphrase a massive amount here, so don't take this word for word, but essentially that Dubois to Montreal is the worst kept secret in all of hockey, and that 1.5 feet out the doors is probably a good way to look at that situation here. But there was something that you picked up on from a Montreal Canadiens reporter that could put a potential wrinkle into the Dubois Jets Canadiens triangle.
Yeah, and it's actually a massive, like this is a huge piece of leverage for the Montreal Canadiens heading into this offseason. But with Pierre-Luc Dubois, if they feel that Chevy's trying to really get as much value as possible, which he should, in all fairness, right? Like you should be trying to get the most value that you can. But when a guy wants to go somewhere, Montreal does have a little bit of an X factor that they can throw out where they're not meeting their demands. On July 1st, the Habs could say, I don't remember the exact dollar amount. It's something like 6.3, I believe. If they offer Pierre-Luc Dubois around 6.3 million.
Offer sheet, if they offer sheet him.
Offer sheeted, right. On a one-year deal, the Jets would have the opportunity to not match that and get a first and a third round pick in the following draft. Those picks are unprotected too. That's the one thing about offer sheets. You're not allowed to protect your picks. Or they match the contract, keep Pierre-Luc Dubois for another year. But if they do that, they're unable to trade him until July 1st, the next season. So you're kind of just matching that offer, keeping him for a year, and then he's gone for nothing. So you're kind of being put in a hard spot here with Montreal where they kind of hold all the cards. And then, I mean, Chevy could pull something out of his hat where he sends him off to a different team, like a division rival or something, and they use him as a full year rental instead of just a half season rental. But I don't think you're going to get as much value from those kind of teams knowing that he's going to Montreal the next season. So you're in a really tough position right now with Montreal where they kind of hold the cards. And I mean, at that point, in my opinion, I feel like you take the picks and hope Montreal continues to not be good, because
like if it gets to that situation,
right? I think you got to take the picks. Like honestly,
well, here, I mean, it's funny too, because people always forget that a player has to sign the offer sheet from another team. That would not be that would not be something that would dissuade Pierre-Luc Dubois in this particular situation. So it is a legitimate threat that the Winnipeg Jets have to navigate. To me, I kind of see it playing out like this. And I guess it depends too what happens with the Jets. Assuming it is Chevy, let's just say it's Chevy, for example. To me, what you do in the Dubois situation is, I don't know when the draft is, sometime in late June. I think what you're talking about there, it kind of puts a deadline on the Dubois Jets negotiations, right? Because you cannot, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, let it go to July 1st. Because if that situation happens, that's the worst possible thing. because a first and a third round pick is peanuts for what you could get from Dubois at basically any other point, right? Like that would just be a horrific return, even with the potential allure of that being a top five or a top 10 pick from a Canadiens team that's rebuilding right now. But you cannot let it get to that point. So what it does to me is it puts a deadline that the Winnipeg Jets have to make a decision before that time. To me, I go even one step further and I say, you know, whatever date the draft is, you know, right before pick number one is announced, that is the deadline for Pierre-Luc Dubois to either sign a long-term deal with the Winnipeg Jets or making a trade at that moment. Like, that's it. There's no other alternatives or options if you're the Winnipeg Jets at that point. And right. I imagine with, you know, the way the tea leaves are being read here is that a trade is going to be the ultimate solution to all of this. But I also don't think it's set in stone that the Jets trade Dubois to Montreal. To me, it's just quite simple. We're trading him before the draft. The team with the best offer gets Pierre-Luc Dubois. If it's Montreal, great. Fairy tale, everybody's happy. If it's any other team, well, go sign with them in the offseason. But that's not our problem anymore. That to me is how the Winnipeg Jets should approach the Dubois situation. And ultimately, it's how I see this whole thing playing out here. It's just going to be, does Montreal pull the trigger on this? Right? Like, do they? And we'll talk about this more once the offseason rolls around. I don't want to spend, you know, 20 minutes on it. But if you're the Montreal Canadiens, do you give up legitimate assets to get a guy that you know will sign for you in the upcoming offseason? Right? Like, do you give up assets to have him in the fold for an extra year, or do you play the waiting game and then just iron out whatever it is on a long-term contract is going to be as an upcoming UFA? That to me is the only up in the air decision in all of this, because I do feel like the Winnipeg Jets is just as simple as we're taking the best offer before the upcoming draft. And then we'll just try to figure out how to build a team after that.
Yeah. And even if it does end up where Dubois says, hey, like, I'm not even going to report to another team. Like, I'm not signing with anyone but Montreal. I think there are still ways where you can extract value from Montreal. Like, I think that you can use their threat of an offer sheet and say, hey, you guys weren't very good this last year. And I don't think Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to automatically turn your guys into a playoff team with how tough your division is. You can maybe try and say, hey, put some protections on this pick and then try and extract some more younger players from that team and try and get some more guys who could maybe help you with this upcoming offseason or upcoming season, while still grabbing some picks and some prospects for the future. I think there's still some ways that you can get value from Pierre-Luc Dubois from Montreal, but it is kind of an ultimate trump card that Montreal has right now.
I'll tell you what, Tyson, if Dubois does say that I'm only signing for Montreal, then I would very spitefully tell him, I hope you enjoy sitting on the couch for the next 12 months because you're not going anywhere and you can enjoy rotting and watching hockey, but you're not playing hockey anytime soon. I would very much enjoy it. I don't think it comes to that, but I would very much enjoy completely abandoning any idea of extracting assets for somebody and just spitefully saying, no, we're good. We're not going to be pushed around like that. But we'll see what happens. That's a conversation for a different time. We'll get to that once the Winnipeg Jets season comes to an end, whenever that may be. But that'll do it for the episode here. I guess quickly, Tyson, I did do my research, by the way, and I tried the Ms. Vicky's All Dressed.
Yeah. I know. What did you feel about the aftertaste? A little weird?
Yeah, like I mean, it was more barbecue-y than it was All Dressed. Like, it was fine. I would eat another bag if it was presented to me, but
I just feel like the Miss Vicky's flavors aren't made for an All Dressed chip.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I kind of like a ruffled All Dressed chip. I think that's my go-to All Dress.
Yeah, but that's the best one.
Ms. Vicky's, like, stick with the spicy dill pickle and the salt and malt vinegar, and we're going to be just fine.
What about the spicy ketchup?
Spicy ketchup's good. I like spicy ketchup. It's a solid. That's a solid 8. Like, that'll get you through some tough times. No doubt about that. But yeah, just thought I'd mention that quickly. We'll get back at it, though, to close out the week. Maybe we'll do one. We'll see. It'll either come out Friday or Saturday morning, our next episode, because the Jets do take on the Red Wings on Friday night. But either way, we'll get back at it here now that we've got equipment and we're fully ready to go here. We'll get you another episode to recap the week that was later on. Until then, though, thank you guys so much for stopping by and listening to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki here once again. We'll talk to you guys in a few days. Until then, have fun and stay safe, everybody. Peace.